Okay, so the shiur tonight is on this week's parsha, Parshas Behar B'chukosai, and I titled the shiur "The Miniature Beis Hamikdash." So we're going to look at the last pasuk in Behar, and we'll look at one of the mefarshim and go on a little bit of a tangent here. But I think there's a really interesting gemara that we're going to take up and try to define and explain. So we'll start with if you have the sheets, the Mar Makomos, it's source number one. It's Vayikra Perek Chavav. And it's a famous pasuk. It says, "Es shabso sai tishmoru umikdashi tiro an yad Hashem." So the Torah says that you should keep Shabbos, and also you should be in awe of the mikdash, for I am Hashem. So it's a classic pasuk. I think most people are familiar with this one. But the obvious question is, what's the relationship between Shabbos and mikdash in this pasuk? So that's the first question. So I decided to look through the mefarshim, and we're going to go with the Svarno. So the Svarno says in source number two, it says, "Es shabso sai tishmoru af bimei ashibud af al pi shahamanucha b'hem zecha l'cheres." So the Chiddush, what's the Chiddush? Of course you're supposed to keep Shabbos. You already know that. So the Chiddush is that even in a time where the Jewish people are under the rule of others, and it's not such an easy time, nevertheless, you still do menucha. Even though menucha is zecha l'cheres, it's a zecha to the fact that the Jews were freed from Mitzrayim, even if we're in a tough time, we still have to keep Shabbos. And then it says, "Umikdashi tira'u, hamekomos, hamekudashim." Hold on, somebody's in the lobby here. Okay, hamekomos, hamekudashim begalus, v'him bate knesios uvate medrashos, afal pishacharav beis hamekdash, ke'amru va'ehilahem lemikdash me'at, v'amru zal, ilu bate knesios uvate medrashos. And the second part of the Svarno is that he says, even though we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, Bizman HaZeh, nevertheless, the Gemara says, based on a pasuk in Yechezkel, that Batei Midrashim and Batei Knesios have a din of Mikdash Me'ad, of a Mikdash. So the Svarno is trying to combine the two, and he's saying that there's a Chiddush for each one, but they're somewhat similar. By Shabbos, he's saying, even though we're in a time period where it might be tough for us, let's say we're enslaved and we're in a tough situation, nevertheless, we still keep Shabbos. And even though we don't have Mikdash, there's still a mitzvah of all of Mikdash. And how does that express itself? It expresses itself in the Batei Knesios and the Batei Midrashos. So what is the idea? What's the Chiddush that he's trying to explain or explore? So just the first idea, simple, and is that the concept that the Svarno is alluding to is that you might have thought that the idea of Shabbos, of menucha, if you can't fulfill it to its fullest extent, if you can't really experience it, then Shabbos is distorted, the mitzvah, and it can't really be fulfilled. It can't be mekuyam properly. And the same thing with mikdash. You might have thought that the actual physical mikdash itself was necessary to fulfill the mitzvah. Kamash Malon, even if you don't have every aspect of these mitzvos, they're not interrelated to the point where these mitzvos are nothing without them. So you still have the mitzvah with the essential ideas, despite the fact that some concepts can't be fulfilled to the fullest extent, but you still have the reality of the underlying concept and philosophy of the mitzvos that exist. And these are permanent mitzvos that express that. So that's the Chiddush here. The Svarno is trying to tie them together, and he's saying in both situations you might have a mitzvah that's lacking in its experience, either because you're enslaved or because you don't have the mikdash itself. But the Chiddush is that we still keep the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is valuable, even if it's not in its fullest expression, even if it's not to its fullest extent. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, it just seems random that it's just these two, though, meaning, like, you could say that about a lot of different mitzvot. Throw Pesach or Matzah into it, right? I mean, even if you're not truly a free person, you still have to observe, you know, eating Matzah, for example.
Right.
On Pesach.
That's a good question. Whatever. I mean, I was thinking maybe perhaps that these mitzvos you might have thought might be distorted if you don't have these concepts like menucha or like the actual mikdash itself. There's possibility of distortion in the mitzvah itself. Kamash Malon, it's saying no, that really because there's like a lack of, not that there's a lack of relationship, but these mitzvos can exist even in a more minor state, and we're not concerned with the possibility of distortion. But it's a good question. It's a good question. I don't think I answered it completely, but yeah, go ahead.
Excuse me, Rabbi Ginsburg.
Yes.
You as the host, can you raise the volume? It's a little difficult to hear you.
I'll move it closer to me. Hello? Is this better? I'll move the can you hear me better now? Or I'll just speak louder. Okay. Hello? All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Really, though, the Svarno, the first point was, I wanted to use that as a tangent, actually. which is to the Gemara and Megillah. So the Gemara and Megillah discusses the idea of Mikdash Ma'at. But before we get to that, there's this interesting Gemara with the Medrash that I was really intrigued by, and I wanted to try to explore and try to analyze. So look in source number 3. So it says, it's Megillah Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. I'm just going to read through the whole Gemara, both parts. They're really two parts. And then afterwards, we'll go back through it and try to define it more specifically. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Bo Re Kama Chavivin Yisrael Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, see how beloved the Jewish people are before Hashem. Shebechol makom shegalu shechina imahen. Every place that the Jews were exiled to, the Shechina was with them. So galu leMitzrayim. So when they went to Mitzrayim, shechina imahen, the Shechina was with them. And they bring a pasuk down, shenamar haniglo haniglesi leves avich biyosam beMitzrayim. So have I not? Sorry, beis avicha. Have I not revealed myself to your father's house when you were in Mitzrayim? So that's the pasuk that teaches us that the Shechina existed in Mitzrayim. Go to Bavel. So when they went to Bavel, Shechina imahen, the Shechina was with them. Shenemar, lemanchem shilachti Bavela. For you, for your sake, I sent you to Bavel. V'af kishehin asidin legael Shechina imahen. And in the future, when they're redeemed, the Shechina will be with them. Shenemar v'shav Hashem elokecha eshvuscha. The Heshav lo namar el vishav. It doesn't say that he will bring them back, but it says that he will come back with them. Melamed shaKadosh Baruch Hu shav imahen mibein agolios. So Hashem, the Shechina, is going to come back with them from amongst the exile. Okay, so the first part of this story or this Gemara is that the Shechina goes with them even into exile. So the question is, what does that mean? What is the concept that the Shechina is with them even when they go into exile and it comes back with them? Can we explain that more specifically? So we're going to look through the sources and see more detail what that means. But I want to just finish the Gemara. So it says, Bebovel Hecha. This is where it gets interesting and fun. So where was the Shechina in Bavel? So Amar Baye, Bevei Kenishta Dehutzal, Bevei Kenishta Deshafi Yosef Ben Ardea. So the Shechina, it rested in the Beis Knesses in Hutzal, which was in Bavel, and also in the Beis Knesses that was destroyed and rebuilt in Nahardea. So velo tema hacha v'hacha, don't say that it was in both places simultaneous. That's crazy. El hazimnin hacha, sometimes it was here. V'zimnin hacha, so the Shechina, it would switch off different places to Hutzal and Nahardea. And now they go through the stories. Amar baye, tisi li, dechi marchitna parsa, ailana umatzlinas hasam. So Abaye said, a blessing is to me, that whenever I was within a parsa of these places, these base knesses, bate knesios, I would daven there. Avua de Shmuel Ulevi havu yosvi bekenishta de shaf yosef ben Ardea. So Avua de Shmuel and Levi were sitting in this base knesses in Ardea. As yashchina, the Shechina came in. Shamu kol riksha, they heard a loud noise. Kamu v'nafku, so they got out. Sounds pretty spooky. But what exactly is going on there? What's the story trying to teach us? And then finally, there's this last part. Rav Sheshes Hava Yosef Bevei Kenishta Deshaf Yosef Nardea. Rav Sheshes was in the same shul in Nardea. As Yashchina Velo Nafak. So the Shechina came in and he was blind and he didn't leave. Asu Malachi Asharis, somehow he knew that it was there. Asu Malachi Asharis become V'asule. These Malachim were trying to frighten him. So Amar Lefanav Ribono Shel Olam Aldo V'Sheinu Aldo Minidchem Epnei Mi. So Rav Sheshes says, one who's wretched and one who's not wretched, who's pushed off for whom? Meaning, can you get rid of these malachim? Because I'm more wretched and I deserve to be left alone. So Amar Lehu, Shavkuhu. So he said to them, leave, send them away. And they went away. So the second part of the story is, so even if you want to go with a very pure philosophical idea on what this Gilui Shechina is, the second part of this Gemara shows you that there's some reality, some stories happen where there was the Shechina that emerged in these two places, Hutzal and Nahardea. So let's look at Rashi just for the pshat. Rashi says in source number 4, Deshafi Yosef. So what was this Nahardea? What does it mean, Shafi Yosef? Uvina Yechonya Visiato Me'avanim Ba'afar Sheviu Iman Begalusan. So the one in Nahardea, the shul, was built from the dirt and the stones that were brought from Eretz Yisrael when they went into Galus. It's to be to fulfill this idea that they take delight in the stones of Eretz Yisrael and the dust, the dirt, Yechoneinu, they cherish it. Okay, fine. And Zichu Marchatna Parsta Ani Nichnas L'Sbal B'Socho. When Abaye was near these shuls, he would go in and daven, demonstrating the amount of kavod he had. Roshesha Sagi Narhavo, he was blind. Okay, fine. So obviously, let's put all the questions together. First question, question number one. What is the idea of Gilui Shechina? And what does it mean that the Gilui Shechina goes with them to all these places in Gullus? The second question is, what is this expression in these two shuls? What about these two shuls made them special that the Shechina emerged? And what really happens here? Are we supposed to take this story literally, or is there the stories, or are the stories trying to teach us an idea about Gilui Shechina and reflect on what the idea and the nature of Gilui Shechina is in Gullus? Because we see from these stories that these are the examples of Gilui Shechina and Bavel, which is an expression of what the Gemara says before, that the Shechina, you know, goes into Gullus with the Jewish people. So how do we understand this? Okay, fine. So let's just get the pshat. Before we understand it, we have to follow the lead of the Gemara. And the Gemara quotes different psukim. So one of the psukim that it quotes to teach us that in Mitzrayim, the Shechina was with them, is in source number, look in source number 5, Shmuel Aleph, that's the pasuk. It says, Vayavo ish elokim el eli, vayomer elav komar shema niglo niglesi el beis avicha biosam Mitzrayim beis paro. Okay, so in Shmuel, it says, look at Rashi over there, Vayavo ish elokim ze Elkanah. So Elkanah went to Eli and he said, Hashem said, komar shem, Hashem said, did I not reveal myself to you in Mitzrayim, to your forefathers? So Rashi over there is very interesting. Look in source number 6. He says, Haniglo niglesi al beis avicha, mikan shenis nabe Aharon v'mitzrayim. So this is an idea that Aharon, who is the forefather of Eli, the Kohen Gadol, was nisnabe, he got nevuah in Mitzrayim. Umahi hanevuah, what is this nevuah? Hu shenemar v'omer aleihem ish shikutseinav hashlichu v'gilulei Mitzrayim al titamo'u. So the nevuah was to Aharon to tell the Jewish people to remove themselves from the desires, the detestable things that they desire with their eyes, and also to not defile themselves with Gilulei Mitzrayim. And then it says, "Aniglo niglesi adatem ki hatova azos vagdolosa azos nasati laaron." Did you not know that I gave this great good to Aaron? So before we saw in the Gemara that the Gemara is teaching us that the Shechina went with the Jewish people to Mitzrayim, and now Rashi on the Psukim is saying, what is that? What does that mean? It's the nevuah to Aaron. And what was the nevuah to Aaron? This is the Gilui Shechina. It was that the Jewish people should remove themselves from the detestable things that the Mitzrayim are involved in and try to not defile themselves. And this is a great gedola. This is a great thing. It's a great honor that Aaron was given this. So how is this Gilui Shechina? Isn't that just nevuah? I mean, the idea that Aaron got a nevuah in Mitzrayim, that's the idea of Gilui Shechina in Mitzrayim. So how do we explain that? How do we explain how Rashi conforms to the Gemara? In the sense that the Gemara is trying to highlight Gilui Shechina, and Rashi seems to be saying that Gilui Shechina is Aaron getting nevuah to tell the Jewish people to stay away from the Mitzrayim and to remove themselves from the things that the Mitzrayim enjoy. So what is it? Maybe we can use this in when we define it to understand what Gilui Shechina is. But Rashi, the question on Rashi is that this seems to be nevuah. So what's different about this than any other nevuah? And the Marsha asks the same question on Rashi, which we're going to have to explain. We're going to define later on. But the Marsha asks the same question on Rashi, which is, look in source number 8. He says, Golu Mitzrayim Shechina Imaim Shneamar Haneglo Niglesi Shehaisa Shechina Medaveres Imaim B'Mitzrayim Lo Hava Itztrich La'asuye. So the Marsha says, the fact that Hashem spoke to Nevi'im in Mitzrayim, to Aaron and Moshe, the Gemara doesn't have to teach us that. The Kama Diburim Mefurashim B'Torah Shehaya Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe L'Aaron. There's many psukim that teach us that Moshe and Aaron got nevuah. So what is Gilui Shechina here? What is that talking about? El Devadai Mikol Aretz Kavodo, Malei Chol Aretz Kavodo. Sorry. So Devadai, Hashem Malei Chol Aretz Kavodo, His honor is full in the world. Aval Mikol Makom. So what is this Gilui Shechina? He argues with Rashi. Aval Mikol Makom Gilui Shechina Hivem Mekomos Miuchados. So Gilui Shechina is in specific places. Kemo b'Mishkan u'Mikdash, like the Mishkan and Mikdash were Gilui Shechina. V'ka'amar, the Hachanam, Yehayelahem Gilui Shechina b'Galus Mitzrayim. And the Gemara is teaching us that the Jews had a special place in Mitzrayim. We don't know where it is. That was there was the expression of the Shekhinah. Medechsiv haniglo niglesi. So the Marsha learns the Pasuk differently than Rashi. Rashi learns the Pasuk of Giloy Shekhinah, of the revelation of God's presence, as a reference to Aaron getting Nevuah. And the Marsha here is saying, no, that doesn't make sense, because the Gemara is trying to teach us a big chiddush about the idea of Giloy Shekhinah in Mitzrayim. And of course we know that there was Nevuos given, so that can't be the Giloy Shekhinah Mitzrayim. So he goes on a different direction, and he says it's a place. There was some place in Mitzrayim that was Giloy Shekhinah. And then he says, "Belashon," go back to the Marsha if you have it. He says, "Belashon kafal lahoros al Giloy Shekhinah sham." So the reason why it says "ano haniglo niglesi" is doubled in order to teach us that there was a makom in Mitzrayim where the Shekhinah was. The odi shlomah haniglo niglesi a kafal milashon galus kviyachol shashkina mitz the eres gamkin begalus. And it's also an idea that the Shekhinah, it's mitzdayer, it's in pain in galus. V'chein lemanchem shilachti bavela hanu gilui hashchina. V'chein mizeh bam edom. So also the same thing by Bavel. Gilui hashchina existed in certain places, and that was the place of Hutzal in this base Knesses, and the idea in Nardea, the base Knesses in Nardea. Okay, so we don't have to finish the Marsha. I just wanted to bring down the Marsha because he's really making a good point on Rashi. So now we have two, at least the deeper understanding of what the Gemara is talking about. But we still don't understand on a more analytical level what it's talking about. But again, just to put everything together, just factually, the Gemara said that the Shekhinah was nigla to them in Mitzrayim and Bavel. So Rashi in the Psukim on Shmuel says that the nigla, the Gilui Shekhinah, was Aaron's nevuah, and the nature of it is expressed in Yechezkel, that Aaron was telling the Jewish people to remove themselves from that which the Mitzrayim were involved in. And this was a great chiddush, like the Rashi says, on the Golden Iglesia, Idatem ki atova zos v'agdola zos nesati l'aron. Why is it so great? What's so great about this? And how is this Gilui Shekhinah? And then the other side is the Marsha. He says, no, there's actual place in Mitzrayim that was Gilui Shekhinah. And he's actually more consistent with the Gemara, because you see by Bavel that you had these two shuls in Bavel, and you had these expressions of Shekhinah in them. So what exactly is the nature of this machlokes between Rashi and the Marsha? And, of course, both are going to have to define their concept of Gilui Shekhinah, but one would think that their concepts are somewhat similar, that there's some connection between the two concepts. Okay. So I know that I'm just... any questions up to this point? Is it clear? I can only see Ovadia, so I don't know what anybody else's facial expressions are, but is this clear? Yeah.
Did they say anything about that it can't be applied two places at once?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it makes sense, but...
Yeah, that's a good question. So we're going to get to that. That's also a good question. Okay. Good question. So the other questions to answer this Gemara, it's like, I think there's one key. There's one unified idea here. So the other thing I wanted to understand was Hutzal. What's the deal with this place of Hutzal and also Nardea, the Shav Yasiv? Are there any other Gemaras that would give us some help in terms of defining why Hutzal is this special place where the Shekhinah emerged? So I found, thanks to technology, I found the Megillah on Megillah Daf Hamad Beis. There's an interesting Gemara there about Hutzal. Okay? So go ahead.
He used to carry in a certain way.
What did you say? Yeah, that's from Shabbos. Yeah, but there's another Gemara. That one wasn't so helpful in trying to understand this Gemara. They used to carry, I think, on their heads, like on Shabbos, right?
Yeah.
No, I found a different one, a different Gemara. I think it was more appropriate. So look at the Gemara. It's Megillah Daf Hamad Beis, source number 9. It says, Rav Asi kari Megillah behutzal b'arvesar uvachamesar. So Rav Asi read the Megillah in this place Hutzal on the 14th and the 15th. Misafkale I mukafes choma mimos Yoshua benun ilo. So he wasn't sure if this place, this city in Bavel, was surrounded by a wall from the times of Yoshua ben Nun. And if you're not familiar, the halacha is that any walled city from the time of Yoshua ben Nun demands a Megillah on the 14th and the 15th. So Ika da Amri, some say, Amar of Asi.
I'm sorry, it demands on the 15th.
So, what do you say?
It only only demands it on the 15th.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, he was Mesupak. Sorry, my mistake. Sorry. He was Mesupak. Right, it's only on the 15th. He wasn't sure whether it was Wald or not, so he read it on both, the 14th and the 15th. Thank you so much. Okay, fine. So then it goes on. Ika da Amar, Amar of Asi, Hai Hutzal, the Vase bin Yamin, Mukefes Choma, Miyamos Yoshuahi. So there's another possibility that's brought in, that in the name of Rav Asi, that this place called Hutzal of the house of Binyamin was Mukafes Choma, Mimos Yoshua, and it was read, therefore was read on the 15th. So we see like Hutzal, there's a Hutzal, the word Hutzal is here, so that's a positive. But what exactly, why did I bring this Gemara in? What does that have to do with the philosophy of Hutzal? So it seems like from this Gemara that there's two Hutzals. There's different ways to learn this Gemara, and we'll see inside. But the first statement is Rav Asi, and he says that he was Mesupak about Hutzal. And then the second statement, which seems to be a differing opinion, says that by Hutzal, the Vase Binyamin, so that was Mukavas Choma. So is it the same place? Are these two different places? How do we learn this Gemara? There's different ways to learn. Either you could say that Rav Asi, their two Manda Omars are referring to the same place. And for some reason, it says Hutzal de Vase Binyamin, but it really was the same place. And the Gemara is just expressing the two different opinions as to how to learn Rav Asi. But another way to learn is that they're two different places. So we'll see in the Rishonim, it's very important, because you'll see it's very important for our Gemara. And right now it doesn't seem like we know why, but I'll show you why. It's a build-up here. There's a little suspense. So if you look in source number 10, the Tosos Harash, he brings down that Hutzal de Binyamin Mukeves Choma, Mikan Psikna de Din Krachim Hamukafim Choma Shikorim Biyom Tezvav Noeg Af Bikrachim de Chutzlaritz. So the Tosfos wants to bring a raya from this Gemara that even a walled city outside of Eretz Yisrael from the time of Yoshua Ben Nun, you read on the 15th. Why? Shari Amrinon Hacha al Hutzal Shiesh La Din Krachim, because you see that Hutzal has this din of a walled city. Via dua hu de Hutzal hu michutz la'aretz. We know that Hutzal is outside of Eretz Yisrael. Kedi isa b'ksubos, like it says in Ksubos, b'perek shnei dayan gzeros. In that perek, naktinan bavel lo chazia lechev le'mashiach. It says over there that bavel will not experience the suffering of the time of Mashiach. Tirguma a Hutzal de Binyamin. The explanation is it's referring to Hutzal of Binyamin. V'karule karta de shevsa. It's called the Horn of Salvation. Alma de Hutzal mi Bavel u Bavel hi Chutz Laaretz. So the Tosfos is learning that Hutzal and Hutzal Binyamin are really the same place. And the Gemara is bringing a raya, according to them, that even in a walled city in Chutz Laaretz, from the time of Yoshua, you read on the 15th. But you see the way Tosfos is learning that Hutzal and Hutzal de Binyamin are the same. So one Manda Amar is saying he was Mesupak, and the other one saying he was Vadai. But really, both show you that you would read on the 15th if you knew in Chutz La'aretz that the city was walled from the time of Yoshua. But what's really important is that he refers to a Gemara in Ksubos. Very important. Ksubos is the key. It's the key to our Gemara. So the Ramban, we don't have to do the Ramban fully, but the Ramban argues, he says there's two places. Let's do it inside. We're not really doing a shir on Megillah here. Just if you can't follow, it's fine. We'll get back to it. But the Ramban, he says, "V'rabasinu tzarfasim zal hivu raya shafil b'chutzar et karm b'tesvav v'masha amarov ashi karm Megillah b'chutzal v'arvesar v'chamesar mesafkalei I mukeves chomay mios Yeshua benun olo." He's just quoting the Gemara. "V'chutzal b'chutzar et haisa k'damrina b'ksubos naktina bava lochazya chevle Mashiach tirgama al hutzal." So like it says in the Ksubos that Bavel is not going to experience the suffering of Mashiach, and it's explained that it's referring to Hutzal. V'psachim amrinan hu Yosef ish Hutzal, hu Yosef Abavli. So Hutzal was in Bavel. L'kaman nami amrinan b'Bavel hecha b'veik nishta de Hutzal. And also in Megillah, where we read our Gemara, it says that it was in the base Knesset of Hutzal. Gam zu haraya ena motziya osana midei safek, l'fi shekasev emiksas asfarim b'kan Hutzal de Binyamin. So he says that this doesn't remove us from the safek because it says Hutzal de Binyamin. V'chein gir sasso sharash upirish to trei Hutzal havu chad b'chalko shebinyamin v'ahi de bavel lo mikriya de binyamin. So he wants to say that it's possible that there is two Hutzals. There is a Hutzal in Bavel and a Hutzal de binyamin, which was in Eretz Yisrael. But he says that the one in Ksubos is really the one in the Hutzal of Bavel. So let's do that. Let's do the Ksubos Gemara. That's really what I want to get to. I know we've gone sidetracked here. But look in source number 12. This is very important. It says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Kol Adar BeBavel, Ki'ilu Dar BeEretz Yisrael. So Rav Yehuda said, anyone who lives in Bavel, it's as if they live in Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, as it says, Hoy Tzion Himalti Yosheves Bas Bavel. So they bring a pasuk as a raya. Amar Abaye, Naktinan Bavel Lo Chazya Chevle De Mashiach. It says that Bavel will not experience the suffering of Mashiach. Tirgama Ahutzal De Binyamin. So the explanation is referring to this city called of Hutzal of Binyamin, the Karule Karna de Shevsa. They call that place the Horn of Salvation. So what do we see from this Gemara? So even according to the Ramban, by the way, and the Rush, the Ramban holds that Hutzal Binyamin in Ksubos, there's a question of whether that's the right Girsa, but it's Hutzal Bavel. So it's the same Hutzal in our Gemara. Everyone holds like that, the Ramban or the Rush. You got to just trust me on this one. But if you want to look in the Rush and the Ramban again, so they're bringing rayas that Hutzal is in Bavel. But this Gemara is key. So the Gemara says that anyone who lives in Bavel, it's as if they live in Eretz Yisrael, and they say that the place that's not going to experience the suffering of Mashiach, in the times of Mashiach, I guess there is a possibility of suffering, is this place of Hutzal in Bavel, and it's called Karna Deshezavsa. So what does that mean? So the question is, why was Hutzal... What does that mean that anyone who lives in Bavel is as if they live in Eretz Yisrael? And what do we see about Hutzal from this Gemara? What concept can we derive about Hutzal? And one last point, and then we'll get to the answer. One last point is, what about Nardea? What about that story? So I found another Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that has the Beis Knesses, this famous Beis Knesses that was rebuilt by Yechonia, or that was built by him from the stones of Eretz Yisrael and the dirt. There's another Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says that they used to have a statue of the king in this shul. And it says, Umicha Shinan Lechashta. The question was, how could they have that army choshesh that they're going to be doing or using it for Avodah Zarah in the famous shul? Vahi Beikanishta Deshaf Yosef Ben Ardea Dehava Be'antar Da Vavu Aili Rabu Shmua Vavu Deshmua Velevi Umatzul Hasam. Didn't the shul in Nardea have this big statue to the king, and yet all these gedolim, they used to daven there. Umatzul Hasan, the little chayshi l'chashta, and they weren't concerned about chashta of, they weren't concerned about the appearance of doing a avodah zara. Then it says rabim shiny. It's different when we're talking about a place that the masses serve in, the masses daven in. We're not concerned about them using it as a whole for avodah zara, or at least the chashash that they're using this statue for avodah zara. So what's the answer here? How do we put all this together? So I want to give a svara to try to explain the whole Gemara, Gilish Spina, Rashi, Marsha, Hutzal, Nardea. So what can we put everything together here? Are there any like clues? So to me, the clue is the Hutzal, the Ksubos, the Hutzal idea. So what does that mean? Let's just define that Gemara on itself. What does it mean called Dar B'Bavel Kilu Dar B'Eretz Yisrael? So the Marsha there, I didn't bring him in, but he says there's a lot of yeshivos and batei midrashos in Bavel. So Bavel was the center of Torah. And obviously, there were many yeshivos, and the Mesorah was really preserved in Bavel, Talmud Bavli. So Bavel is really the center of Torah. So when it says that anyone who lived in Bavel, it's as if they lived in Eretz Yisrael, it means that the environment of Bavel was similar to the environment of Eretz Yisrael as a Makom Torah. That Eretz Yisrael has the physical elements of the land reflecting concepts of Torah. And Bavel was the similar type of environment where the yeshivos and the Batei Knesios of Bavel created a similar type of environment of Torah. And specifically, Hutzal de Binyamin seems to be highlighted in that it's the Makom, it seems to be the highest Makom, the Makom where Torah was exemplified. And that's what it means, that it won't... What does it mean that it won't have the suffering of Mashiach? It sounds like it's immune to the suffering of Mashiach because of the level of knowledge, the level of Torah being expressed in Hutzal. Hutzal seems to be the Makom Torah, the highest Makom Torah in Bavel. And that's what's expressed in the Gemara in Ksubos. So we see that Hutzal has a special place in Bavel in the sense that Bavel is the Makom Torah, just like Eretz Yisrael, and Hutzal is the highest form, the highest level. And what's the idea of Nardea? So yeah, look at the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Look at all the individuals who lived in Nardea who were davening in the shul. Rabu Shmuel, Vavuad Shmuel, Levi. So all these individuals lived in Ardea, and they're davening in the shul, and the shul was rebuilt from the avanim of the mikdash. So what exactly can we learn from this? This idea that Hutzah was this great makom Torah, and the idea of this Beis Knesses was the Beis Knesses of Rav and Shmuel and Avuah de Shmuel and Levi. Basically, the Bali Masorah davened in this Beis Knesses, and the Beis Knesses of Nardea. So what exactly can we say about Gilui Shechina now and what it means? So I just want to say that perhaps the idea of Gilui Shechina is that whenever you're in a society, in an environment that is not an environment of Torah, like, for example, let's take America, for example. So it's not exactly, America is not a society of Torah. It has its own value system of morality. But whenever you're in that type of society, it's very easy to be influenced, and it's very difficult to remove yourself from the influence of the society and the concepts of that society. So what is Gilui Shechina? So Gilui Shechina seems to be a makom, according to the Marsha, a place where individuals can remove themselves from society and really focus on Hashem, really focus on the concepts, the philosophical concepts of Hashem and of God. And you need an environment like Nardea, of Shafi Yosef, of Nardea, and the tie into the Eretz Yisrael, and you also need an environment of Hutzal to give the backdrop of a makom Gilui Shechina, of a makom where you can be and really focus all your energies away from society, away from the surrounding environment, and focus all your energies on serving Hashem and on understanding Hashem. And that's the idea of Mikdash, of Gilui Shechina and Mikdash. Gilui Shechina and Mikdash, on the most basic level, is where the Jews go to Mikdash, and it's the makom where all their energy, all their psyche and their mentality can all be focused on one idea, one concept, which is Yichud Hashem and the idea of Hashem's greatness. So the same exists. That's the idea of, what's the idea of Gilui Shechina existing in Mitzrayim and existing in Bavel? So according to the Marsha is saying that really in all these places, Hashem gives us an opportunity or a makom, a place where we can dissociate from the corruption and the corrupting ideas of the society that we live in order to focus our minds and focus our ideas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that existed even in Mitzrayim, according to the Marsha. Of course, we don't know the exact place, but in Bavel, we know the place, according to the Gemara, and these were the places of Torah, where the Gedolim served and they taught, and also where in Hutzal, which the Gemara says is the Makom Torah to the highest degree, those are the places where the Jew, a Jewish person, was able to really focus his energies to the utmost. And that's the idea of Gilui Shechina, I believe. And I think that's what Rashi also. So our question was, what's the difference between Rashi and the Marsha? So if you go back to Rashi, what is so unique about the Nevuah to Aaron? So it seems to be the same idea in the sense that Aaron was telling the Jews to remove themselves from the corruption of the Mitzrayim and remove themselves from Gilulei Mitzrayim, Alti Tama'u. So the nature of that Nevuah was really the concept of Gilui Shechina. So the nature of the Nevuah to Aaron was dissociate yourself from the corruption and the influence of the society around you. And that's what Gilui Shechina is. Gilui Shechina is the opportunity for the Jewish people to remove themselves from that society temporarily and focus their energy on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's even the Mikdash itself. The Mikdash is the epitome of that concept, but that concept exists even in Gullus, even when the Jews are in Gullus. And I believe that's what's being expressed here. So Rashi is not that fundamentally different than the Marsha. Rashi is just saying that this idea of getting the Jews to really dissociate from their environment was done through Aaron and through Nevuah, and that's Gilui Shechina, whereas the Marsha is talking about a physical makom and a place where people can sit and they can think and they can just focus their energies, and it's the perfect environment for and the most conducive environment for that. So what about all these stories? So I think these stories are talking about what does that mean, Asya Shechina, like in that story? So I think the stories are telling us that these individuals, these Chachamim, were capable of getting to that level where they really saw this level of knowledge, this idea of Shechina. Like we say, I was thinking about an idea that's similar to this. We say that when you say Kesh Levana and you see the new moon, it's as if you see the Pnei HaShechina. So what does that mean? It means that seeing the Chachma in the heavens, in the skies, is really an idea of seeing, it's really the face. It's almost like a little bit of insight into God, into the way God works and his knowledge and the way that he created the world. So I would say that the Shechina, the idea of the Shechina, is that in these Mekomos, these individuals were capable of davening on a higher level. Like Abaye says, whenever I would pass by, I daven in these shuls. Why? Because when Abaye would pass by, he recognized that these shuls would be the Mekomos where he could really focus his mental energy on the proper outlet, on Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the same thing with the other stories, where they were sitting there and the Shechina came, it meant that they were in, I don't want to say meditation, but I want to say that they're in a deep state of thought, and they're really, their energies are really focused. And the idea of leaving, perhaps, is an idea that maybe their knowledge, this is all speculative, a little bit speculative, but maybe the idea is that their knowledge was at a point where it was dangerous for them. You know, sometimes it says that anyone who goes to, people who go to parties, to these areas of deep philosophy, a lot of times they realize that sometimes they're not ready for it. So I think that's what it's expressing. I don't think it's expressing perhaps that these things happened or that there was like a loud voice. I think the idea of a loud voice in the Shechina coming was that these individuals were in a state where they were thinking and they were able to focus their energy and really understand deeper concepts about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they had to leave, meaning at some point perhaps certain individuals were able to think about that and tolerate it and gain from it, and others weren't. But aside from that, the main point of the shir, this is the main point, and it has nothing to do with Mikdash Ma'at, but the next part of the Gemara does. But the main idea up to this point is this concept of Gilui Shechina. That Gilui Shechina is an opportunity for Klal Yisrael, and it's given to Klal Yisrael even in Gullus, where they can separate, dissociate from society in the utmost sense and focus their energy completely towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And whether that's a Makom or whether that's Nevuah through Aaron, it's the same concept. The concept is that if not for this greatness, this good that Hashem is giving us, so that the influence of society would be much more destructive. So he gives us opportunities, and he makes those opportunities available to us in different situations in Gullus. So that's the idea I wanted to express. Any questions? Yes, go ahead. Yeah, you're the...
I don't know who go ahead is.
Yeah.
That's actually terrific. I love it. Is there any way to connect that to the Rav Sheshet story, though? It seems like that story, though, is a little hard.
Yeah, that was a hard story to explain. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. I mean, I think it's a similar idea that he was sitting there, and obviously he was in thought, and perhaps there was some... Maybe there was some idea that's what I mean, frightening him. Maybe there was some idea that he thought that he wasn't going to be able to perceive or would be dangerous to him. But in the end, he was able to overcome that. So maybe that's the point of the Gemara. It's showing you that he struggled with a certain idea. That's what it means that the Malachi Asharis came and they frightened him. It means he was struggling with a certain idea. Some idea about a Kadosh Baruch Hu that caused him some type of fear that he couldn't overcome. And then he was able to overcome it. So maybe that's the point of the story. Okay? Yeah, thank you. Okay.
And, yeah. Rabbi Ginsburg, you've answered the question of why the Shechina can only dwell in one place at a time.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
The place of the highest learning would be the place of the Gilui Shechina.
Exactly. And these
is it not an Isser? You say the base of Medrash was built from the stones of the destroyed temple. Correct.
Yeah. There was, I saw somewhere that somebody brought down that question. I just don't remember. That's a good question. There's an Isser, right, to use the stones?
But the Isser comes from, I mean, they call it the Mizbeah.
Yeah,
the
yeah. Isser
comes from the Mizbeah.
When I was doing this, I saw Akasha somewhere on that, but I don't remember the answer. I'll look it up after this year and I'll send it to you. I definitely saw that Akasha. It's a good question. Yeah. They asked the same question. I forgot who asked it. I definitely saw it. I just don't remember the details, but I'll send it to you. Maybe I'll email to you or WhatsApp you. Okay? All right, this is the last point on the nature of Bavel. And it actually ties I think we should come back to the main Svarno here. So the last source is the Megillah. It's the same Gemara, and right after the one that we just did, it says Vahilahem Lemikdash Ma'at, source number 15. So he says that I shall be for you a small mikdash. Amar Rav Yitzchak, elu bate knesios vate midrashos shebavavel. These are the bate knesios and bate midrashos in Bavel. Rabbi Lazar, amar zeh beis rabbeinu shebavavel. It's referring to the house of our Rebbe in Bavel. So to machlokes, what does that mean, a mikdash ma'at? Is it the Bate Knessios and the Bate Midrashos, or is it Beis Rabbeinu? So Bavel. Okay, interesting machlokas. And then let's just keep going a little bit, and then we'll come back. My dechsev Hashem ma'on atal yisalanu, ilu Bate Knessios uvate Midrashos. Amar Abaye, Meresh havai garisna bevesa umatzlina beve knishta. In the beginning I would learn in my house, and then I would daven in the Beis Knesses. Kivan de shamis lohad de kamar David. When I heard the pasuk Hashem ahafti ma'on beisecha, havai garisna beve knishta. I learned in the Beis Knesses. And then it says, Tanya, Rav Elazar HaKofer Omer, Asinim Batei Knessios, Uvatei Midrashos, Shavavavel, Sheyikbu Be'eretz Yisrael. Eventually, in the time of Geula, so the Batei Midrashos and the Batei Knessios of Bavel will be placed in Eretz Yisrael. Shneamar, Kikis Savor Baharim, Uchacharma Be'yom Yavo. So it's talking about these mountains. There's a medrash that says these mountains, they wanted to get the Torah instead of Sinai. These mountains who only came temporarily to learn Torah by Sinai were Nikvan Eretz Yisrael. The Batei Midrashios in Bavel and the Batei Knessios, where there's a lot of Torah, there's a tremendous amount of Torah, Alachas Kam V'Kama, certainly it'll be displaced and moved to Eretz Yisrael. So what do we see about, what's this Gemara trying to highlight? What's the main idea of Mikdash Ma'at here and the Machlokas? And so it's similar. It's tied back to the same idea that we said before, which is that really Bavel was a makom of the Mesorah. It was the makom where the Mesorah was built in Bavel. And the idea is of the Batei Knessios, the Batei Midrashos, being displaced and moving to Eretz Yisrael is the concept, just the last concept of the Gemara, is the concept that that quality of learning will exist in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, the quality of learning in Bavel was the highest that ever existed, I would say. And in fact, we see that from the Gemara before, that it said, what is that referring to? It's referring to the quality of Limud in Bavel. The quality of learning in Bavel was to the highest degree. It was the place where the Mesorah was really kept and built upon. So the idea of those Batei Midrashios and Batei Knessios being moved to Eretz Yisrael is showing us that that quality, that level of learning of Limud, will one day be in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning we will have that same quality of Limud in Eretz Yisrael that existed back then. I just don't want to go through all the details. I wanted to finish the shiur off that, but the first two ideas I do have a concept for, but maybe we'll do it on a different shiur night. But I just wanted to finish the shiur off at that point. The point is, the idea of the Batei Midrashios and Batei Knessios being moved to Eretz Yisrael is to show you that the quality of learning that existed in Bavel at that time will exist once again in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So, just to put the shiur together, just to summarize, the main part of the shiur we started with was the first, that last pasuk in Bahar, which was the connection between Shabbos and Mikdash. The Sfarno says that the connection between them is that you might think that if you're lacking certain elements of these mitzvos, you can't fulfill them, and therefore there's no value to them. Kamash Malan, no, that really the value exists even if they're not expressed to the fullest. Like in Shabbos, where even though you're enslaved and it seems pointless to remember Achiras, nevertheless, we still keep Shabbos. There's many ideas that exist in Shabbos that are independent of the idea of Menucha, and same thing with Mikdash. Even though we don't have the physical Mikdash, the concept of Yiras Mikdash can exist without it, even if it's not to its fullest degree. But then we moved on, and we try to understand this Gemara about the Gilui Shechina Mitzrayim. And there's two parts to the Gemara. One is that Hashem, the Shechina, goes with the Jewish people in Gullus, and it will come back with the Jews when they eventually go back to Eretz Yisrael. And the second part was, where does it exist in Bavel? In these places, Hutzal and also Nardea. So the questions we had were, what are Gilui Shechina? And furthermore, what is it about these places of Hutzal and Nardea and these stories that we can understand and glean ideas from? What are they trying to teach us? So we did a little exploring here, and we found that Rashi is interesting. He says that the Gilui Shechina is referring to Aaron getting a nevuah that the Jewish people should stay away from the things that the Mitzrayim are involved in and love and shikutze enov, what they desire. And the Marsha argues, and he says, what do you mean? There's plenty of nevuos that existed. We have psukim. So what's the Gemara teaching us? What's the chiddush of Gilui Shechina? It must be that there is some makom, there is some place. Just like in Bavel, there is a place. There are these synagogues, these shuls that existed in Bavel, so too in Mitzrayim. So then we went on a tangent of Hutzal. It's not really a tangent, but we want to understand, what is it about Hutzal Nardea? So we saw that there's Gemara in Megillah that shows us that Hutzal was in Bavel, and Hutzal, we saw in Ksubos, was this place of Makom Torah, and it's the place that is the highest level quality of Torah. And by Nardea, we saw that Rav Shmuel, Avua de Shmuel, and Levi, they all davened in this shul, this Beis Knesset. So we see that these two areas in Bavel seem to be the epitome, the highlight of Lima Torah, of quality of Torah. And we want to say that the Chiddush is that Hashem provides opportunities for Klal Yisrael to dissociate from the influence of the environment around them. And that's Gilui Shechina. Gilui Shechina means that the Jew and Klal Yisrael are surrounded. They can find a place to be surrounded and engulfed with Torah and an ability to focus their energies on the concept of God, similar to Mikdash. And that existed in Mitzrayim, and it also existed in Bavel. And then the last point of the Shir was this point of that shows you that the quality of Limud and Bavel was to the highest level, the highest degree, in that in the future Geula, the Bate Midrashos and the Bate Knesios of Bavel will be moved to Eretz Yisrael. What is that teaching us? It teaches us that that quality of learning that existed, the quality of learning that really, built the Mesorah, and really kept the Mesorah alive, so that quality of learning will exist in Eretz Yisrael in the future. So that was what I want to finish the shir with. Any questions?
Yeah. Can you explain again the machlokas?